You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
To some people, death is life's greatest tragedy, the cold and cruel end to everything. But for others, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus Christ, blessed Redeemer, by your Easter resurrection you removed the fear of death. By your comforting Spirit, console all who live in the slavery of the fear of death. Wrap your arms of love around the brokenhearted, the weary, and the depressed. Assure hearts burdened with guilt of forgiveness purchased not with gold or silver, but with your atoning blood. We long, O Savior, for your glorious return and our blessed redemption. In your powerful name we pray, amen. Shortly before his death, William Saroyan, the internationally known author, made an unusual phone call to the Associated Press. He told his friends that cancer had spread to several organs of his body and that he was dying. He then gave his final statement to be published after his death. The Pulitzer Prize winner said, "Everybody has got to die, but I have always believed an exception would be made in my case. Now what?" To some, his departing statement was unique and even clever, but it differs very little from the haunting but honest words of Job, spoken thousands of years ago. These searching words recorded in the Bible represent the ultimate question of life for all people, rich or poor, young or old. Job asked, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" This question of whether there is life after death has for centuries hounded the indifferent, haunted the atheists, and even shadowed those zealously seeking comfort in cults or various man-made religions and philosophies. Even atheists are not spared the occasional painful thought that God does exist and that they will someday have to give an account for their words and actions. The Holy Scriptures proclaim, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Without a faith built on the Christ of the Scriptures, even for those humble enough to admit divine existence, the fear of the final day of judgment yet remains. It conjures up visions of condemnation of a holy and righteous God. Natural knowledge can conceive only of a God of wrath and judgment, and not a God who is also merciful and forgiving as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. May the Holy Spirit assure those of you listening today of divine pardon for your sins, made possible by the innocently shed blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord's undeserved love and mercy always soften our calloused hearts and move us to a confession of our sins and failures. And may we be led by God's Spirit to courageously confess the eternal joys expressed by Job, who proclaimed with divinely inspired confidence, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. Even though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. Man's vain attempts to remove the negative stigma from death can at times reach the incredible. For $10,000, a California engineering firm is now marketing a unique tape recorder to be installed on the top of gravestones. Powered by the sun and guaranteed for two generations, this machine will play back for the graveyard visitors messages pre-recorded by the deceased. In a telephone interview, one of the partners who helped develop the machine explained, "What we are trying to sell is a little bit of immortality, a little bit of hope of life after death." The man then astutely observed that this is what man has been searching for since Adam. Dozens of philosophies, scores of cults, and myriads of man-made religions now claim to have the answer for this endless search. And it must be admitted that these religious fakers and frauds, by demonically diverting doubt, do provide momentary relief for thousands of unsuspecting victims. But even the founders of these religious and spiritual movements eventually die, and their cold bones lie helpless in the grave. What hope can these mortal fakers, destroyed by death, now offer their followers? It is precisely this dilemma which sets Jesus Christ apart from all other religious leaders. Jesus did not fraudulently give promises to his hearers, which he could not keep. After his death, the Savior was raised again to provide a reliable guarantee, backing up all his life-giving promises. And now, since he through his resurrection broke the shackling chains of death, so shall all who believe and trust in him be given newness of life. Some people erroneously believe that in order to avoid the terror of death and the uncertainty of the hereafter, one must become religious and follow all kinds of rituals and rules in life. But this is only mere religion, a clear demonstration of man's vain attempt to reach God. The Holy Scriptures proclaim that Jesus never asked anyone to become religious. Jesus desires no one to be burdened with more rules and guidelines. And even if he did, with our weaknesses, it is impossible for you and me to perfectly fulfill what God expects. Our vain attempts will only result in making life more frustrating. The Savior does not add burdens. He is a liberator. He lived a perfect life in our place. He died a cruel death you and I deserved. And then he demonstrated victory over sin, death, and the devil through his victorious resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Not long ago, our counseling department received a letter from a child. The young lady said, "My father just passed away, and I haven't been able to handle it. I feel like going out and killing myself, but that would only make it harder for everyone." Where can young people like this go for help? Some months ago, a fashionable magazine for teenagers carried a major article dealing with death. Incredible as it may sound, the author advised trying every conceivable cover-up approach except the only effective one of resting in the triumphant knowledge of victory as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Young people were encouraged to attend funerals, view movies, and even read books discussing death. Visiting graveyards was also promoted in order to get them comfortable with the idea that they would someday die. All of this activity in order to get adjusted to the reality of death, and yet no one answered the ultimate question, what happens after death? If you are a young person listening today, don't merely acclimate yourself to the fact of your own death. Go one step better. Let God's Spirit assure your heart of a fulfilled life so that when death does come, you will receive along with all believers a more glorious destiny. St. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Imagine this. Gain after death. In our generation, this sounds incredible. In spite of all your problems, living in this life as a Christian can be a meaningful and victorious experience. For believers, following death, a new life begins as we pass through the gateway to glory to an even greater existence. Exactly what heaven will be like someday, no one knows for sure. Some time ago, Good Housekeeping magazine asked children across the country to give their opinions on death and heaven. One student wrote, "When you die, God takes care of you like your mother did when you were alive. Only God doesn't yell at you all the time." Another student wrote, "Only good people die. The other people go where it is hot all the time, like Florida." Still another child stated, "You don't cry when you die, but you don't laugh either." It is not that death is so violent that makes it so repulsive for many. The negative stigma comes from the fact that death is inevitable and that it is final and that it offers not even the slightest shred of hope. Sure, you and I can argue against it, but no one can prevent it. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Death shall surely come to all of us, but it is not necessary for it to be a negative experience and something to fear. Stephen, an early Christian martyr with an attitude rare in our generation, viewed death in a bold, confident, and almost welcome manner. As he was viciously and brutally stoned for his courageous confession of his Savior, Stephen looked heavenward with joy and anticipation and cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." As a result of knowing his Lord and Savior, Stephen had experienced a meaningful life on earth in spite of the many problems he and other persecuted Christians faced. But we must never forget that simultaneously, Stephen also longed for the divinely promised glorified body and a place of eternal bliss reserved for all who trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you today are young and mourning the death of a family member or friend, if you are middle-aged, living with a doctor's diagnosis that your situation is terminal, or if you are in your senior years with your body wasting away, worry no more about death. A place is already being prepared for you in the mansions of heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood paid for the cost of that room. But the question is, will you by faith accept this reservation already made for you by your Savior in the wonderful mansions of eternity? Or will you, through defiant rejection or stubborn indifference toward your Savior, lock yourself out of the eternal gates of life everlasting? Growing old, relying upon others to care for us, and living with the fear of being warehoused in a rest home is neither comforting to the heart nor consoling to the mind. Even King David, the greatest of all kings described in the Bible, experienced trying times during his sunset years. In 1 Kings chapter 1 we read, "Now King David was advanced in age, and they covered him up with clothes, but he could not keep warm." Only an unshakable God-given faith, like the one established by God in the heart of St. Paul, can overcome those difficult days. With a vision of heavenly respite and eternal beauty constantly before his eyes, St. Paul proclaimed, "Even though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Yes, we must all confess, no matter what our age is, that as we look in the mirror, our wrinkles remind us that our outer nature is indeed decaying. But with Christ in our hearts, our inner nature is given new strength and vitality. Speaking bluntly, to all who make fun of those who long for heaven, St. Paul says,
We know that if our earthly dwelling were taken down like a tent, we have a permanent house in heaven. It is made not by man, but by God. The evangelist continues by saying, in the present frame, we sigh with deep longing for the heavenly home. We want our transitory life to be absorbed into the life that is eternal. In the midst of your concerns for what may happen after death, having this God-given knowledge and Spirit-guaranteed hope, you can say with confidence and divine assurance, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Jesus did not remove death. Even his disciples had to die. But the Savior removed the sting of death by becoming flesh and blood. Jesus rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. The Savior did this so that he might free all men from the slavery of the fear of death. Let no one deny that it is a natural thing to fear death. When asked on a television show what she feared more than anything else, one of the most popular female singers in the last two generations openly confessed that the thing she feared was death. As the Bible observes, many consciously or subconsciously live in slavery to this fear all their lives. But as a result of Christ's death, even though Christians pass through death, death itself no longer has power over them. Death no longer controls their destinies. In the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we read, Christ has completely abolished death, and is now, through the gospel, open to us men the shining possibilities of the life that is eternal. Yes, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So great will the transformation be on the final day of judgment that the whole creation, the entire universe, will be affected. Even at this moment, the Holy Scriptures reveal that all of creation, everything we can see, the birds, the mountains, the animals, and the grass, groans and suffers. They are waiting to be set free from the slavery to corruption. Look around you. Is it not, as the hymn writer wrote, change and decay all around I see? The dog chases, kills, and eats the rabbit. The lion slays and devours the lamb. Beautiful trees rot, pretty flowers wilt. Insects seeking blood and nourishment for life mercilessly plague man and animals. God's wonderful creation, where perfect harmony once existed, has been absolutely and totally ruined by the curse of your sin and mine, our rebellion against our loving and merciful God. Yes, indeed, all of creation longs to be set free. But the Bible says it is not only the creation that waits to be relieved from slavery and corruption. In Romans chapter 8 we read, and not only this, but we ourselves groan within, waiting eagerly to be adopted as sons, the redemption of our own body. It may be wonderful to be a vibrant athlete, lauded by the crowds, compensated handsomely, and sought after by autograph hunters. But age fades even Olympic winners, who must, like all mortals, return to dust. It may be thrilling to be a beauty queen or a movie star, but as John Wayne realized in his last days, aging, death, and decay finally overtake us like a rapidly moving car on the highway of life. With Christ living in your heart by faith, you can experience a life of meaning and fulfillment. And when this life is finished, you and all who confess their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be granted an even greater existence, living in the very presence of God and seeing Jesus, your Savior, face to face. Don't concentrate on your worries. Don't dote on your needs. Don't let your anxieties consume you. God will take care of you. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Don't concentrate on your problems. They are not to be compared with the glory soon to be revealed. Yes, the glory of heaven is a place where there will be no more arguing, no more bills to pay, no more concern about death, and no more family feuds. in that wonderful paradise, relationships will be perfect, and God will guide you to the springs of the water of life, and He shall wipe away every tear from your eyes. For you to live is Christ, and then death for you will be gain. Amen.